Proverbs 17. Proverbs chapter 17. My dad gave me an awful lot growing up. And I don't mean things. He gave me some things, but he was just working class. Working class man. Came home with leather hands. And we didn't have a lot of money. But he still gave me a lot. In high school, I remember somebody once asked me, he said, "David, why is it you're the only one I know who never complains about his parents?" Well, it wasn't acceptable to complain about my parents at home. I didn't see it acceptable to do it in public either. Because in my house, my mom was queen. You don't talk bad about the queen. And my dad saw to it that my sister and I had respect for my mom. That was just part of what it was to live in the De Leon household. And I have respect for my wife as queen because of what I saw in my dad. He gave that to me. He didn't realize a lot of what he was doing was actually portraying biblical principles of parenthood, but he was. And I picked up on those things. My work ethic, I owe to my dad. It lines up with Scripture. It's a biblical work ethic. He's the one that taught me, if you're going to work for somebody to earn a dollar, you better do a dollar's worth of work. Okay? I picked that up from him. In Phoenix, Arizona, construction that's the industry, by the way. If you want to know what the industry is in Phoenix, it's construction. And that's my family comes from construction. And when I was in high school, I worked for my dad. He started his own company by then, and I worked for him. And you got to understand, in the desert, in the summertime, when I worked for him, when school was out, construction crews, they start about 4:30 in the morning, and they knock off by about 1:30 at the latest, because the hottest time of the day is from 2 to 5. That's the hottest time of day in the desert. And they want to be done. And so all the construction sites are vacant after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, except for my dad. Oh, no. Okay. We'd be out there working, and he'd say, you know, we do not just put in hours. We're going to finish until the job is done. You know, we're not union workers. Well, I wish I had a union rep to call once in a while working for him. But he taught me, if you got a job to do, finish the job. Finish the job. I got that from him, who, by the way, he got that from his dad. My dad has been burned many times in business. He started his own company, and he's been burned several times. And, you know, he always forgave and moved on. Sadly, I didn't always get that kind of graciousness from my dad. It didn't come naturally to me. I resisted it. It took Christ to give me a spirit of forgiveness. And I praise the Lord for my work ethic from him, because I by nature am lazy. But he's the one that displayed and instructed how to work. But my dad gave me a lot. But what dad offers really does not start with dad, does it? When your dad or a dad offers something really good, it doesn't start with him. It actually starts from beyond him, and it starts beyond his dad before him. In fact, Father's Day really is about more than honoring the individual father. It's about honoring the heritage that father passes along. And folks, the heritage of biblical fatherhood comes from our Heavenly Father. That's really where it comes from, and it is He who we honor. And that's really what Proverbs 17 is teaching us in verse 6. Take a look. It says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Isn't that something? Even grandpa gets praised in that passage of Scripture. And this passage teaches us really a two-way relationship between fathers and their children. Right? Two-way relationship. First, number one, it teaches that children are the crown of their dads and their grandparents. Children's children are the crown of old old man. You know, it's not a bad thing to be called an old man. I know we take that as an insult. You know, when some young punk refers to you as an old man, okay? Truth is, the scripture honors the old man. Says you get some crowns by being old. You got some advantages that the young person just doesn't have yet. If you've been paying attention, you have wisdom that you didn't have back in the day and that the younger generation only thinks that it has. You got it. There's some real honor in being an old man. There really is. And so God honors the old man. Yeah, and did you notice it was an old man that said amen? Yeah, amen. That's right. That's right. To the old man, his grandchildren are a crown to him, whether he acknowledges that or not. Now, I had grandparents that did. My grandparents, my grandpas. I was one of the privileged to grow up with both grandpas. One was they were both grandpas at around the age of 40 when I was born. That's pretty young. That's pretty young, which means I got to grow up with them. Okay? And one was an Indiana coal miner. The other was an Arizona copper miner. These were very different in personality, but tough birds with tough work ethics. And again, the work ethic I inherited from my dad came from his. And I also have to give mom credit because she got her work ethic from her dad. And I remember griping about something one time. Complained about something that I had to do. It was either at school or it might have been one of my part-time jobs as a teen. But it was something I didn't like to do at work, and I was griping about it to my Grandpa Hawkins, who was not sympathetic. And he said, David, I do stuff all the time that I don't like. If you're just going to do things that you like and avoid things you don't like, you're going to end up dead or in prison. So you got to do stuff you don't like. You just roll up your sleeves and do it. He basically was telling me, suck it up and go to work. Yeah. Jobs have things you don't like to do. School has stuff you don't like to do. School has teachers you don't like. Jobs have bosses you don't like. There's coworkers you don't like. You know, there's always something you don't like, my grandpa taught me. You do it. This was a man who always provided for his family. He was working class. He was a milkman in Phoenix, Arizona during the 1950s. You know what that's like in the summer? Well, in the winter, it's a heaven job. Phoenix is paradise in the winter. In the summer, in the 1950s, those milk trucks didn't have refrigeration. They had ice blocks. And they'd load the back of these trucks with ice and put the milk in there. And he would go from house to house and house and deliver milk starting at 3:30 in the morning. Because the summertime, by 11 o'clock noon, those ice blocks were melted. So he had to have all of his milk deliveries out. You know what they did back then, 1950s, Phoenix, Arizona? All the customers gave their milkman a key to their house. And he'd walk into those houses at 3 in the morning, started at 3 in the morning, up until about 8 when people are up and he'd knock on the door. But in the middle of the night, he'd let himself in and he'd go in there and he'd shake the old bottles and he'd put the fresh milk in and he'd do that. And one time a dog came out of nowhere, a little bitty dog that he didn't know was there, and bit him in the back of the ankle at 3 in the morning, and those bottles of fresh milk went up in the air and came down like little bombs all over the place. He was so sure it woke the family up. Nobody woke up. So he found the broom closet, and he grabbed the dustpan and broom and the mop, and he cleaned it up, and I never did see the dog again. Got his bite and took off. This is stuff he put up with. He went to a house one time that he had to go through the backyard, and he was covering his friend's route, so he wasn't familiar with this house. Went to the back gate. All Phoenix houses have a 6-foot wall with gates to get to the backyard. Put his hand, there was no latch on the outside. The latch was on the inside. He reached up over the gate, put his hand on that latch to pull it, and teeth clamped down on his hand and held it there. And his hand was up here. He thought, this is one big dog. And as he started to pull his hand free, those teeth just clamped harder. And he couldn't get loose. And this was a tough old bird, but he just could not pull his hand loose from this dog. So what did he do? He did what I would have done in that. Help! And finally, the owner came out, put the dog away, and he delivered his milk. He put up with this stuff all the time. Yeah. Then he got a job at the nuclear test site in Nevada, Arizona. And this was in the 70s when the hippies were protesting nuclear test sites. That's what they did. And they would come and do horrible things at the fences and stuff. And my grandpa, well, he was kind of a hothead. And he worked security. So when all the hippie buses showed up and they started beating on the fences, they had to send out security in SWAT uniform to make sure nobody actually breaks through the gate and crosses that line. And he lined, and the boss lined up all the guys, and he says, okay, now listen, the news reporters are out there, these hippies are going to spit on you, and they're going to throw things at you, and you cannot strike back. Jack, you stay here. He knew my grandpa. But my grandpa provided, and he taught me a work ethic. You know, why did he do that? Well, because all of his grandchildren he considered to be crowns. I don't know if he knew that. He didn't get saved until he was on his deathbed. But the truth is, Proverbs states a fact. Children's children are a crown of an old man. And we were crowns to him. And he made it obvious. So did my grandpa De Leon. Now, my grandpa was De Leon. He was a much sweeter person than Grandpa Hawkins. But he was quieter, I should say. I should put it that way. He was quieter. He loved kids. It was adults he wasn't crazy about. And he just loved his grandchildren. Okay. This idea of a crown, it's a wreath or a prize that a victor wins. And a dad and a grandpa can look at their children for what they are, their prizes. Okay. Now maybe you didn't have a godly father, but you know, you can still be a crown to him anyway. I didn't necessarily get Bible teaching from my dad. If you did, you ought to appreciate that. But by glorifying God in my life, I can be a crown to my dad in such a way that maybe one day he too will glorify God and accept Jesus as Savior. So today on Father's Day, choose to glorify God and be a crown to your dad, to your grandfather, no matter what they are or where they are. Maybe they're not even with us in this life anymore. Be a crown anyway by the way you live, by the things you do, by the words that you say. You know, not only are children crowns of their dads, but remember, this is a two-way relationship. It also says that dads are the glory of their children, right? Dads are the glory. The glory of children is their father, it says in verse 6. Now, of course, for you dads here, this is dependent often on your relationship to God. Glory just means splendor, okay? And as a dad honors the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a splendor to his kids, whether or not they accept it. You be encouraged, fathers. Whether or not your children accept your role as a dad, you can still be a splendor to them, even if they reject it. My dad had a lot of good things to teach. I was really slow to learn, okay? I was very slow, and I was at times very difficult. Not always a crown jewel in the apple of my dad's eye. I made it hard. Didn't matter. He hung in there anyway. He was still a splendor to me. And again, he didn't know probably what Proverbs 17:6 teaches, but this is a proverb. This is a fact. This is God's design of fatherhood. And my dad was a splendor to me. It just took a long time for it to kick in on my end. That's all. You know, see, one of the great truths in life is you just cannot control anybody else. You can only control yourself. And in so doing, you glorify God regardless of what others around you are doing. You give the glory to the Lord and you say, I'm going to do what is obedient to God because it honors him, even if my obedience is not appreciated by others around me. Well, that's true of dads. And dads hang in there with their kids. And when they do, man, they're a splendor to the kids, whether the kids know it or not. Okay. I thought my dad was a slave driver when I worked for him. And the truth is, it is really hard. It is really hard for a father-son relationship to work together. That's the toughest relationship. Why is that? Well, dads expect more from their kids than they do their other employees, and they tend to be harder on their own kids when their kids work for them. That's the way it is. So it can be really tough. They will let things slide with another employee that they won't let slide with their children. And it was no different with my dad. And so there were times when I would get so frustrated with him because he just seemed to get so frustrated with me. He'd snap at me. And my dad is the chief of sarcasm. You know, so he's really good at that. And he was the welder. He was a far better welder than me. So my job on the sites, I did a lot of installing that didn't require welding. When we worked together, I would hold things in place. I got all the equipment out, and I would hold things in place while he welded them. Okay. And if I was hot and I was bored and I was tired and I wasn't doing a very good job, and not, it's kind of hard to weld something as it's moving back and forth. And he'd say something like, "Hold it still." And then about a millisecond later, he'd say, "I said hold it still. What are you, an alcoholic?" Yeah. And he'd come up with all these little things that he would use to bite at me. But what I didn't realize is I was every bit as difficult as he was. Okay. I was not catching this work ethic quite as quickly as he thought I should, and I was difficult, but he hung in there with me, and he stuck it out, and yeah, he was tough on me, but he did that because he did hang in there. He was a dad that saw his children as his crowns, and he was actually being very splendorous to me because he didn't give up. He never fired me, and he should have. And he never did. As a matter of fact, throughout my high school years, he'd hire me, and then I'd get another job somewhere, and I'd go take that other job until that didn't work out. "Yeah, can I come back to work? I need money." "Sure." My employee file in his office had a revolving door. Okay? He hired me and rehired me so many times. I didn't deserve that. Here's how much my dad was a splendor to me. After doing this countless times, finally, this was long after I graduated high school, even. This went into my early adult years. I was 24 years old and thought, I'm just going from job to job to job. I've been running from the Lord in church, serving in every way except the way he wants me to serve. So I think I better go pursue a Bible degree and chase after the ministry, because that's where God wants me. So finally, after resigning to that, I called my dad. I had a job. I was in an apartment, and it was another dead-end job. And I said, "Dad, I'm going to go to Bible school. Should have done this when I got out of high school. So would you mind hiring me again? Because you pay better than any other job I've had." "Yeah, you can come back to work for me, son." And I said, "And I'm going to leave for school in about 8 months from now. I'd like to save as much money to keep the debt down. Would you mind if I came and lived with you and Mom rent-free for that 8 months?" 24 years old now, mind you. He said, "Yeah, sure, son. Come on back." And so for 8 months, I lived at home rent-free. Prime of my life, man. I was still eating like a horse. And they didn't charge me anything. I socked away just about every dime he paid me. And I worked harder for him in that 8 months than I ever had before, since I had started working for him at age 12. And he made it so that I walked on my first year of college and paid cash for the whole year. You see, that's how a dad can be a splendor. Yeah, maybe you didn't have that. Be a crown anyway. See, children, your responsibility is to recognize your father, that though he is far from perfect, he is your splendor. Okay? Especially you young people, it makes no sense to spend the entire year glorifying in video games, cars, trucks, sports, or whatever, And then once a year, say, Happy Father's Day, Dad. Glad to glorify you today. Glorify your dad every day. Recognize him for what he is. He's a heritage to you from God. He is part of God's design. If your dad has offered you a heritage and he's been a splendor to you all year long, you can glorify him all the more. Or even if your dad's not with you today. You know, in Luke chapter 1, we see another dad. He was an old man who hadn't had children yet. And he was about to. Luke chapter 1, verse 5. It says, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Zacharias was a faithful priest, but he was old, and he and his wife Elizabeth had never had children. Not because they didn't want to, they just were not able to. It says in verse 6, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then he had one of those wonderful experiences that, truthfully, folks, a lot of people in world history have never had. Most people have never had. Just a few. He got a visit from an angel of God. It says in verse 11, the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and he fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son. You shall call his name John. Now this would be John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the forerunner who would announce the promised Messiah, Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, and you'll have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Here's what John's going to do. Verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He'll also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. It's very unusual. And now notice, he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Huh. What a ministry this man had, in which he turned the hearts of a whole lot of dads back to where those hearts should have been in the first place, to their kids, to their crowns, and their responsibility to their own children. Dads, you can be that dad. If you still got children in the home, it's never too late to turn your heart toward them. Yeah, even if your children aren't in the home, you can still turn your heart toward them. My dad still does that even today. You know, he never tried to raise my boys. And I did a few things different than he did. He never said a word. I think he took joy when I was having difficult with the boys. Give them a little trouble, are they, son? Yeah, they sure are, Dad. But he always honored my role as a dad. He's still doing that today. Hey, fathers, you can do that even when your sons and daughters are grown. Turn your hearts toward the Lord. Well, maybe, listen, if you are one of those who has this type of dad or had this type of dad who really taught you the ways of the Lord and taught you the scriptures and lived for Jesus in front of your eyes, you are of a privileged few. You really are. Most people cannot say that. So if you're of the majority, doesn't have a dad who's glorifying the Lord in the way he lives. Hey, listen, no matter. Matthew 6:26 says, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Listen, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have the greatest Father of all, the Heavenly Father, who sees you as a crown. You are more valuable to him than anything else he's created on this earth. And he takes care of his creation. No matter what your earthly dad has done or has been, you have a Heavenly Father. And in glorifying him, you can still glorify and honor your earthly dad as well. Hey, Father's Day can be special to anyone, especially those of us who belong to God the Father through God the Son. Amen. Happy Father's Day, man. Father, we thank you for creating this wonderful role called fatherhood. And we know there's some broken hearts here today having a hard time with their own dad, maybe having a hard time with the fact that they miss their dad, who's not here anymore. Lord, may you mend these broken hearts by bringing acknowledgement that fatherhood really is a heritage and that we have the greatest Father of all in you. Father, for those of us who are our dads, drive us to submission to your will that we may treat our children the way you have instructed us to treat them. As crowns, gifts from you, hanging in there with them, be they still very small or full-grown adults. Thank you, Lord, for old men. Thank you for fatherhood. In Jesus' name, amen.